The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And by the way, that outdoor report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. We should have that coming up within about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk with Mr. Outdoors. Ed, Mr. X, my buddy, is here. Hey, Ed. You brought up a law because you were listening to that conversation with Michael Williams from the Medford School Board, and you brought up a salient point about a law which I'm going to send to Michael because all of this stuff about hiding information from the school board, it's illegal, isn't it? According to this one ORS that you sent me.
Well, first off, let's go over the real point. Is he an elected official?
Yes, he is.
That puts him into a category of what? Being part of the governing of Oregon.
Yes.
Okay. Now, look at the statute, 192, I think it's 620.
Yeah, 620. Let me read this for people. Okay.
Read it.
All right. The Oregon form of government requires an informed public aware of the deliberations and decisions of governing bodies and the information upon which such decisions were made. It is the intent of ORS 192.610 and all these various definitions that decisions of governing bodies be arrived at openly, right, that's the bottom line.
And if you continue on, it's inclusive of other statutes in there. But look at the information that he was talking about. What is with the secrecy here? That can only be attributed to a basically a policy consensus situation of what they want to do with restorative justice, what they want to do with all of these little intrusions that they want to change things with. But the bottom line is every aspect of what he was talking about is governed by that law. That's one of the savings clauses that takes you back to the actual Constitution of the state and the Constitution of the United States. And it should be in the reverse order, I apologize, because the Constitution of the United States is always held first. And the reality to it is that what does it say? The Oregon form of government requires an informed public.
Yeah, it's not an option. It's not if employees of the school district, for example, don't want the public to know about it. It is required that they know about it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at everything, you look at the reality. These are the examples of the intrusions that they're doing to try to hide things through, that's a chain of command. You went outside the chain of command. Well, then they need to disclose that at a public meeting. And we, as the public, then get to tell the school board, the hell with your chain of command. Okay, we don't care about your chain of command issues because they're irrelevant because the law says we're supposed to be informed.
Exactly. Point well taken. Ed, thanks for making it. Matt, you wanted to weigh in on this Michael Williams conversation, too, a few minutes ago. What are you thinking?
I feel like I'm not really adding anything to the conversation, but just reaffirming. The children are ours as parents, and then we elect the board. And there's all this other stuff in between, okay? Why does the stuff in between have all these special procedures and secrecy and all these other things? When in regards to a particular student, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to compromise a student or whatever else.
Okay, yeah.
I don't. But we're on both sides of this vice. As a parent, you elect. As a parent, you raise. There should be no secrets on any issue. The people have to know. What's the point of having a board? You might as well just send your kids to school and then say, okay, so the administrative staff, you know, whatever that is, from superintendent all the way down to the school.
They own the kid. That's all there is to it. Yeah, you're right. If the board cannot be informed and cannot demand the information without getting sideways of the hired help. See, I'm tired of the hired help. I'm tired of government employees thinking that they run this stuff. I'm done with this. And we see this within the counties. We see this within the city governments in which, the elected officials are there for the ribbon cutting, but they're not really qualified to do much more, Matt, you know, that kind of thing. And
look, I go back to Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. It was his stupid idea. He said, we need professionals to run everything. You can't have people who are elected, maybe not reelected, or people who get elected for, you know, term after term after term, running anything. We need to get the intelligentsia in the positions who know the ins and the outs, and then they can run everything. And you're basically just there as a board member in this case.
Yeah, to rubber stamp the teachers union and or what the superintendent wants, right?
Yep. And the board member, I don't know him. I've never heard him talk before until this interview. All I would say is this. The most important thing he said, please, please, please go to the board. If you have a kid in school and you're not paying attention to what's going on, you have no idea what's being done to your kids. And you won't find out until it's too late. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the call. It's 10 minutes after 7. Mr. Outdoors is standing by. We'll shift gears away from that before my, you know, blood pressure rises any higher, okay? It's 11 minutes after 7. We'll be right back.
Good. Artisan Bakery Cafe Summer Specials. Now is the time to indulge in a delicious affogato. Two perfectly pulled shots of espresso poured over creamy vanilla ice cream. For an extra treat, add chocolate and whipped cream to make it an affogato sundae. Come on by Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1325 Center Drive, just across from South Bredmeyer. Indoor and outdoor seating available. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
For the Rogue Valley, sunny, hot, and dry throughout the region over the next few days. Watch for thunderstorms over the weekend. Today is sunny and hot, highs near 100. Tonight, clear and mild with lows around 65 to 70. Tomorrow, probably the hottest day of the week with highs over 100. This is Kevin Lawless for NBC 5 News, your place.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
More and more listeners are saving real money by calling Sky Park Insurance. Here's Kathy from Central Point.
I was actually very excited about insurance because he saved me money and got me more coverage on both my house and my car. I save $1,300 a year. Thanks, Steve.
Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance company, and it shops for the best rates among several name brand companies. Call Steve for a quote at 261-5444. That's 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
At Pressure Point Roofing, your home is our passion. From your initial call to completing your project to standing behind the work we've done, we strive for excellence in every aspect of the job. For over 35 years, we've been your go-to roofing professionals every step of the way. Living in this community means we see you every day at the gas station, the store, and Little League games. Doing the job right for you and our community is important to us. Choose Pressure Point Roofing for a job done with care and integrity. Visit PressurePointRoofing.com today. Pressure Point Roofing, your roof, our passion.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740-3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9224.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. For a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel trailers, man, they are terrible on tailgates.
Next time I see a yield sign, I'm just going to stop.
Better gauge the wind speed before you open the car door.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Quarter after 7, and since it's Mr. Outdoors and he's a KISS fan, you get a KISS bumper this morning here, Greg. Welcome back. How you doing?
Well, as a major in the KISS Army, I deeply appreciate that. Thank you, Bill.
All right. But what is your favorite KISS song, by the way? Maybe I'll do that next time.
You know what? Actually, it's probably the live version of Cold Gin. That, you know, that song was an example of...
Is that the one that does like... Dun, 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 yeah. That one? Is that the one you're thinking
yeah,
of?
Yeah, and okay. What's kind of... I mean, the amazing thing about it is when you heard it on the album, kind of this, I don't know, and then live performed... Like they do it live, because now, of course, we've learned all these many years later, there isn't really much that is truly live about Alive, the first album. But okay, what's really hilarious about it is Paul Stanley doing his, you know, his chat going into the song, and he's making it sound like he's back there partying it up and drinking all these forms of alcohol and... You know,
that was part of the smoke and mirrors, right? No pun intended.
Yeah, all these many years later, he and Gene never touched the stuff.
it's pretty funny when you think about it, but you got to understand, Gene and Paul, smart people. They were business people first, and everything was about the business. Did I ever tell you, and I know this is not about the Outdoor Report, we'll get to that, though. You remember Ron Boutwell?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, you remember Ron Boutwell used to be my old... Ron Matthews is how we knew him. And when I was doing rock radio here in Southern Oregon, you know, he worked with me as a morning partner back in the day. And he told me about what would happen with... This is what it was. He worked with the KISS Army, you know, for quite some time doing T-shirts and various other things. Someone had come to Ron... and proposed that they were going to do a KISS comic book printed with their blood, right? And did he ever tell you this story?
I thought you were going to the other one, and that's why I kind of chuckled when you referred to what they did. The best one he ever told me, I forget which tour they were going out on. They were talking about all the merchandise stuff.
Yeah.
And then Gene looks at the group and says, is there anything else? And Ron goes, yeah, there was one other thing. And he goes, I thought it was so stupid. And Gene goes, what? And he goes, there's a company that says they want to do a KISS condom. And it just is so lame. And he said Gene shot right up out of that chair, got right in his face. He's pointing at him and he's going, you get that back on the phone and you tell them we'll take every single one of them they can manufacture.
Exactly.
Like, okay, man, okay.
Okay, yeah.
And they sold every single one they could get their hands on.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. But there was a similar story that the blood in the ink, putting KISS blood in the ink, and whoever, the manager or whatever it is, oh, no, we don't want to go there. And Gene was kind of like, hey, listen, we're here to make money. They never really thought they were going to have a career for a long time. So it's like, man, every buck coming in, man, we want it.
Yep.
You know, that's where they were.
Yeah, and, you know, so it starts with the KISS condom, and it ended literally with KISS caskets. And I know that Dimebag Darrell, from Pantera, when that lunatic shot him on stage, he was laid to rest in a KISS casket. But when the reality, quote-unquote, show with Gene came on, he literally had the line. He talked about the condoms. He talked about the casket. Then he looks at the camera with that Gene face, and he goes, we're KISS. We'll get you coming and going.
Oh, that's so funny. That's Gene. That's Gene.
Yeah.
I think Gene Simmons feeds Donald Trump lines sometime. I really do. I think sometimes he feeds him the lines. You know,
hey, bite. They're really good friends, and of course, Gene was on one of the seasons of The Apprentice. So,
yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I didn't really watch The Apprentice all that often, but that's just me. But hey, let's talk a little bit about here the Outdoor Report and a little bit of meteorology school first off, because people are wondering, why is it hot? It's like it's not supposed to be hot in end of August or early September.
And actually, we're going to be lucky that we're not going to be hotter, because we could. I mean, we're going to see triple digits or pretty close to it the next 3 days, but we're not going to be near record highs, which are mostly between 105 and 110. So, it's going to be warm. And what's driving it? Well, we've got easterly winds, which is a signature of both a ridge, which we have aloft, but also there's a trough, what we call a thermal trough, down on the surface that is currently over the ocean that's going to be moving inland. When you get those two things working in tandem in the summer, you're going to get hot temperatures. And like I said, while we're going to be right around 100 the next 3 days here in Grants Pass and Medford, it's not going to be as hot as it truly could be. So we open up the holiday weekend really hot, and then Sunday is the transition day. Cooler air starts coming in. We are going to get enough moisture, and that clash of the air masses happening from the Cascades east here in Oregon, that we are going to see thunderstorms develop. And
is it going to be a wet thunderstorm or dry thunderstorm pattern? What do you think?
They look more like they're going to be wet. There's no red flag warnings. There's no fire weather watches. I mean, there wasn't. There may be now, but nobody really seemed to be greatly concerned about it. It's mainly going to bypass our area. And what we're going to be seeing come the second half of the holiday weekend will be temperatures that will be coming down. And by the time we get to Monday, we're going to be right about where we should be for the time of the year. And then, of course, Tuesday is the traditional back-to-school day. Some districts have started already. Obviously, they're getting their first vacation of the school year. It sounds weird to talk about, but it's the way it goes here now. And then next week, probably Wednesday, Thursday, we're looking at another, warming trend, because I don't think we're going to be getting up around 100, but I do definitely see us getting back up well into the 90s. So probably going to be a good 5 to 8 degrees above average, because averages are starting to really come down now. We're back down into the 80s for an average high, and depending on what day we're talking about coming up through the weekend and then into next week, we go upper to mid 80s being average highs here in Medford. So again, not too terribly hot when you think about it, because we can have 100 degree temps in Medford into late September.
What's the latest day of the year we ever hit 100,
that I can think of right off the top of my head? September 23rd.
Okay, so later in September. Okay, we got that. Okay, so all right, so it's going to be hot here, but you know where it's going to be hotter, or at least it's going to feel hotter? I'm going to Milan, Ohio for my high school reunion this weekend. Tomorrow's forecast there, rainy, 95 degrees. Now, with all that Lake Erie thunderstormy air, oh, man, I'm just going to be wringing out my T-shirt. I have no doubt. That's the way it is.
That's the kind of thing that you'll get. As soon as you said rainy, I was like, what are air temps? Oh, my goodness, you're going to be in a sauna.
I know. It goes down to 80 on Saturday and Sunday, though, but still rainy, that kind of thing. So
still, 80 at this time of the year and rain, that's where heat index is probably going to kick in, and you're probably still going to be, while the air temp may be around 80, actual what it feels like when you add in the humidity, I would guess somewhere between 85 and 90.
Yeah, I would agree. That's why when I get back, when it's 100 degrees or 95 to 100 here, the humidity is so low, it doesn't mean anything to me. 95 to 100, okay, yeah, it's warmer than I'd like it to be, but it's not that bad. 105, 110, okay, yeah, I'm complaining, at that point. But, the dry heat's not bad.
When you're saying 95 to 100, and, you know, out here we have a dry heat. Man, you get 95 to 100, then you add in oppressive monsoon moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is the craziest thing I've ever saw.
Really?
I've been down there in May and June on fires, and we'll be getting afternoon temps running up between 110 and 120, and humidity levels sometimes as low as 5%. Then you go down there in July and especially August when the monsoons kick in, you'll have 95 to 100 air temps, and then you'll have all that monsoon moisture in place, and you'll be looking 60 to 80% humidity level, and it's just a total steam bath down there.
Boy, that doesn't sound like a fun condition to be fighting fires in, for sure.
Well, no, because when the monsoon kicks in and they wait for it down there, their fire season comes to an end.
Oh, okay.
You get fires to burn in that kind of humidity. It won't happen.
Now, are we looking for a tapering off of our fire season, you think, over the next few weeks, looking ahead?
Heck, I put a post up yesterday because so many people were asking, do you think we're going to have smoke impacts for the weekend? And I put up the fire temperature sensor from the satellite. There are no red dots at all, anywhere
Good.
From Northern California to Canada, up through Oregon, Washington. The closest we have major fires producing smoke is central Idaho, and those big fires ripping through the mountains over there. They got the town of Stanley. They told everybody to get out of. And Stanley, I don't know if it's even still standing this morning, but when I saw the satellite picture, there is a huge mass of very thick smoke extending over places. Well, I'll just kind of run through the list. The bigger towns that most everybody knows, Twin Falls, Pocatello, those locations, basically the eastern side of the Big Valley in the southern end of Idaho. It's completely smoked in this morning, and, you know, those of us here, we absolutely know what that's like. But the winds that are driving all of that are not going to push that smoke anywhere close to us. It's all moving to the southeast this morning from where the fires are at. So Boise itself, pretty good-looking air over Boise, but you get east of Boise, and you run into that really thick, very hazardous air quality. Again, like I said, Twin Falls, Pocatello areas.
Well, I just appreciate being able to breathe again. Before we take off here for the weekend here, the long weekend, Greg, what is the best fishing? Where would you recommend we head out? Is the coast still the place to hit, or will the rivers be looking good this weekend, even at 100 degrees?
In terms of just go out and not have to be the most skillful angler to catch fish, the first thing I would do would be to find a charter operation that might have open seats this weekend and get to the coast. If you can't actually get out on the water, well, everybody could throw a crab pot, and crabbing's been really good in the bays and estuaries. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's going to change that. So, excuse me, sneeze. So I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah,
I would look at that, and then the fishing off the jetties. But if you've got the boat, or if you can find charter operations that have seats open, getting out and getting on the water is going to be great fishing, because bottom fishing is still really strong. You get up into the central coastal area, Winchester Bay North. Those areas, you can still go out and catch salmon, and salmon fishing is red hot.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Greg, have a great weekend. Thank you for the report. We'll catch you back next Friday, normal time. Okay, normal day of the week then, all right? And you be well.
And safe travels, and I hope you have great fun with your classmates that you haven't been able to see in a very long time.
Yeah, we'll be sitting there. We're going to be dancing to YMCA. YMCA by the Village People. We'll be doing that. Hey. All right.
Yeah, well, don't bust a hip.
Okay, I won't. All right. See you, Greg. Take care.
You got it, Bill.
Greg Roberts, RogueWeather.com. RogueWeather.com, of course, where you keep up on the outdoor news and various other things and the climate and the weather. We like prefer climate than weather. And needless to say, this is all sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. Outdoor Report, normally every Friday at about this time.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/2/24.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Company's where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, J. Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. J. Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We're now watching what is an attempt at the biggest transformation lie campaign in the history of this country. The Medicare for All bill that Kamala Harris herself sponsored with Bernie Sanders, she doesn't believe in anymore, according to her aides. The border wall that she mocked, that said was ineffective and doesn't work, now she's saying that she will build a border wall. The mandatory gun buyback, confiscation in other words, oh no, the campaign says they don't support that. The no fracking, no drilling ban that she supports. No. She supports them. Defunding ICE. Oh, no. She supports them. EV mandates that she said over and over again she supports. Oh, no, she doesn't support that either. I mean, it's a pretty unbelievable attempt at a transformation.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees, plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
The Bill Myers Show is on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
7:33, we'll catch up with news with Bill London just a moment. And I'm looking at a picture here that was sent to me. Herman Bertschinger, Commissioner Bertschinger, sends this to me and says we have Republicans raising money for Democrats and endorsing them. I'm going, okay, can this really be true? And I'm looking at it. Here it is. It's the Ag First PAC. So it's the Ag. So it must be like the farmers, Agricultural First Political Action Committee. And they're talking about incumbent races. The incumbents in this list have leaned heavily into learning about and helping support Oregon's agricultural industry. So, okay, so they like Kevin Mannix, Representative Tracy Kramer, a Republican, Cyrus Javadi, a Republican from Tillamook, Representative David Gomberg, a Democrat from Otis, and Representative Ken Helm, Democrat from Beaverton. Yeah, that's what I love about the state of Oregon being controlled by the Democratic Party is that you have Republicans that are all willing to, hey, let's get in there and raise money for this PAC. I don't think so. There needs to be a difference of opinion here. No point in you being a Republican to go in there and just help the Democrats like Gomberg and Helm to pass Democrat bills. It goes beyond ag. You have to be more tribal and strategic. Just say no. Thank you, Herman. I always appreciate you doing that. State Rep. Dwayne Yunker joins me here in a couple of minutes. He's also a Grants Pass City Councilor, and they had an emergency meeting last night. I'd like to get the latest on the battle between the people that are battling to enable the worst of the homeless behavior versus taxpayers that would dare to want their parks back. How dare those taxpayers want to actually have their parks back and some orderly streets and things. But we'll get the latest on that and more all coming up.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. State economists project that Oregonians will receive almost $1 billion kicker tax credit in 2026 as personal and corporate tax revenues continue to exceed expectations, according to the latest quarterly economic and revenue forecast. The increased tax revenue also means that lawmakers will have an extra $676 million to spend in next year's legislative session. The Medford School Board voted to launch an independent investigation regarding one of their members after receiving a written complaint accusing an unnamed board member of inappropriate conduct. Michael Williams was the only member to vote no. Community members in attendance yelled cowards after the vote. There have been reports the investigation is related to the reassignment of student resource officer Josh Doney. The Oregon State Marine Board is asking boaters to use caution over the Labor Day weekend. Users of any watercraft are required to have life jackets on board. Kids under 13 must wear a life jacket when the boat is moving. Bill Lunnan, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millette Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millette will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com for a free consultation.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley View Nursery. With a grateful heart, thank you for voting Valley View Nursery the best nursery of Southern Oregon. Did you know fall is fantastic for planting trees? And we have the best quality and selection, now 20 to 36% off. For more fall promotions and color and choice you won't see anywhere else, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map, Valley View Nursery. Find us closer than you think.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area's top, but numbers don't lie. When you hire Clouser Drilling, you're getting a company that has 1 million feet, 4,600 wells, 53 years, and four generations drilling here in Josephine and Jackson County. Clouser Drilling has six licensed drillers and four modern drill rigs, giving customers confidence in one great product. The number's 541-476-7795. The name's Clouser. Contact Clouser Drilling today.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
739. State Representative Dwayne Yunker is also a Grants Pass City Councilor. We've got a lot to talk about this morning here. Dwayne, welcome back. Good to have you on. Morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back on.
All right. All right, Dwayne, first things first here. The reason I brought you on here, I just wanted to get the latest on, we were having that conversation earlier this week about the Hacienda group, that Hacienda nonprofit, and the illegal aliens being offered, what, up to $30,000, eligible for $30,000 in grants to be able to buy a home. And it's a wonderful gift from the taxpayers. This is actually a bill passed by, once again, Democrats over in Oregon state government. And the story was that American citizens were not allowed to apply, or they were not qualifying. And then they came back and said, oh, no, that's not true. But my suspicion, and maybe you could confirm because you understand the bill probably more than I do, is that there's probably all sorts of rules that make sure that American citizens don't qualify for the grants and that there are equity points or whatever it is for being an illegal alien. I have a feeling there has to be something like this because this is an Oregon bill which was passed. There must be DEI built in. Is there?
Yeah, this was not a mistake or anything like that. This was a bill passed in 2022 legislature under the Economic Equity Investment Program for $30 million. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2022. And then this year in the short sets, and I'm just going to give you as fast as I can because I know we got a lot to talk about. They tried to do more money. And then we as the Republicans and myself on that committee, this was a Janelle Bynum that's running for U.S. Congress, right. Up there north. She kind of got her hand caught because of the Supreme Court case, student versus Fair Admission versus Harvard. And so she just kind of let the bill die. But what they did is they just put it in the end of the session Christmas tree bill.
Oh, and that one in which they just threw everything at it, right? Just pass it all.
Yeah.
So, got it.
So with this, and then the excuse of the Hacienda is like, we didn't know that because we had an outside consultant. But the problem is with that outside consultant that actually did the external graphing is affiliated with Business Oregon.
Okay. So how can they claim that they didn't know about it, saying that you had to be an illegal alien or a foreign national in order to get this in? But of course, the bottom line I'm still asking is, they're talking about the same thing down in California too.
Yes.
Where is it in the Oregon Constitution that illegal aliens, people who are not supposed to be here, right, who already broke the laws to come in here, or foreign nationals who are here to either on a work visa or whatever it is, somehow should be getting grants of up to $30,000 gifts from the Oregon taxpayer, who actually has to pay for this stuff? I mean, where is that? What is the policy?
This is encouraging illegals to break our laws, and it takes away housing from legal Oregonian citizens, and it raises housing costs.
Yeah. This is sort of like a mini version of what Kamala Harris was talking about, right? To have a big down payment, big house down payment kind of thing, right?
I think that our governor is so connected with the Harris Biden agenda. She might be the most disliked governor in the United States, but I'm sure she's the most liked governor with the Biden Harris administration.
All right. Well, to be fair, though, we want to make sure that when you hear them say, we're sorry, we didn't really know that the graphics and all the pamphlets we were putting out said, you had to be a non-citizen to qualify for this, that doesn't hold water, right? I just want to be clear.
You know what, Bill, and the sad thing is, I'm not a reporter. I'm just digging. And then, you got the Oregonian coming out, covering for the state of Oregon and Hacienda. They don't even do their homework.
And then obviously the Daily Courier just repeats the same Oregonian thing in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So citizens are not getting the real, you know, scoop. It's very frustrating that the news media covers for them.
I could say that at all levels, but it's been this way a long, long time. But it's just getting worse. I don't think it's been improving as of late. All right, so you've kind of given us the real story on that, so we'll set that aside for now because there's plenty more. At an emergency city council meeting, how dare the city of Grants Pass residents want their parks back? I'm being a little sarcastic. I know that there's been agreement here, but what happened with this whole thing with where the homeless are going to go and the hotness and where the water's available? And I'm hearing all sorts of things. The Mint people are complaining. And by the way, for those that don't know, when they read about this, what is Mint? What is the Mint program or the Mint people that are part of this?
I don't have their exact breakdown. They're a group of people that go, another nonprofit. They come together. There's Dr. Murray and there's, I don't know the nurse's name, and volunteers that go around and help the homeless.
Okay. All right. So they're going out and helping. But it's another nonprofit, right? Do they get taxpayer money to do this as part of a nonprofit? Do we know?
They received, I could be wrong exact in the amount, $150,000 from the All Care, which is taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little facility they bought. It's called Parker's Place, which used to be Parker's Bargain House back in the day. It's next to Bi-Mart. And they do the cooling shelter, warming, whatever, there. And, that's their building now. So
where do we find ourselves right now, Councilor Yunker, in this particular case, instead of State Rep Yunker? What's going on? What happened last night?
Well, I think the backup this thing a little bit is, this was called as a humanitarian crisis. This is a crisis that they were not getting these individuals in the water treatment facility. We're not getting water. It was too hot. There's no shade. All mm-hmm. this location. And I don't know if this is a humanitarian crisis because no one's stopping anybody from giving them water. Nothing. No one's stopping them from leaving this place and going get water. So I don't know what is a crisis.
Is the crisis the assumption that the city of Grants Pass is supposed to be delivering a water truck to the homeless every day so that they can get all of their needs provided free? I mean, is that what this is all about, apparently?
I think there's a larger agenda. This is my opinion, a larger agenda to get us closer to these urban campground or shelter facilities.
Oh.
It is election time. And who has been pushing for this would be the mayor, Councilor OJ, which is rerunning, Brian Delagrange. These people are rerunning for office now. Thank you that we're going to have, hopefully not have them in office. But they want the taxpayers to pay this stuff.
All right. Now, you talked about it being a humanitarian crisis. What makes this particular spate of hot weather we're going to have? It's going to be 2-3 days of 100-degree temps, possibly. What makes that any worse than what was going on in July? I mean, why was it not a humanitarian crisis then, but it's a humanitarian crisis now? Do you know about this, Yunker, Councilor Yunker?
Yeah. They would say that there's no shade trees, there's nothing to get out of the sun.
Oh, so they need to be back in Riverside Park because there's pretty trees and things like that, right, that you can hang out underneath. Is that kind of where we're going to?
Yeah, they had at least shade there. They can get out of the sunlight. There was access to water, and maybe not at every park, but some did have water.
Well, yeah, and there's a place to shoot up your drugs and leave the needles on the ground, or two, for the kids to step on, at some point. I'm being sarcastic, but sorry.
I know you're being sarcastic. Yeah, so we are supposed to be carrying, if you look at Mint, these are our neighbors. And I always say, well, my neighbors don't crap in my yard. They don't steal my stuff. They, I'm saying they respect, me, and I don't see a lot of this happening. And I look at, I brought this up last night. I look at this three different ways. What is the city's responsibility? What is the state's responsibility? And what is personal responsibility? And everybody comes up and has a story. You know, I'm almost, you know, can't afford life, blah, 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 blah. Well, is that the city's responsibility because you can't afford life? Or is it the state's responsibility? Or is it your responsibility? And I don't think it's the when I say that, that's also the taxpayers. Should someone that's going to work so hard pay for someone else to live? I don't think that is how the U.S. Constitution was put together.
Now, this is a serious question I have. Is there any count to how many folks who are in the homelessness camps actually work? And you could arguably say are members of the working poor.
I would say there's probably some, probably more car camping.
Car camping. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, more car camping, things like that.
Yeah, God bless them. At least they're trying, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they have some skin in the game there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A little bit of skin in the game for them. I think that's totally different than someone that, you know, our biggest complaint last night, I think the most valid complaint last night is the businesses that are sitting right next to the water treatment that are being, you know, vandalized, theft, lines cut to their vehicles, stuff like that. All of a sudden, now that we moved them next to their, you know, this people next to them.
Well, you knew wherever you were going to move the homeless encampments, you're going to have trouble. Trouble was going to follow them. Because it wasn't like all of a sudden you put them into the water treatment plant or over by, you know, Copeland Sand and Gravel, right? That's kind of where that is, right? And it's not like you put them there and all of a sudden they become model citizens when they were not model citizens over at Riverside Park, right?
Yes, correct. But that would be the biggest gripe that I would say has legitimacy because these guys are trying to make a living. You know, the workers, the staff there, the women that work there in these places nearby, and they're being threatened, and they're being, you know, their work's being, you know, that is the biggest gripe. And, you know, these people have these big, huge hearts.
Well, take them home. If these people showing up at the homeless encampments have such big hearts, take them home. Put them up.
You know, I've come to, you know, in my 50 years being alive, and I've been all over the world. I've done humanitarian aid all over this world, from Somalia to East Timor. I've been to India, Asia, I've been to Mexico. We cannot solve all the problems. We cannot. People have to have some responsibility for what their life here. And this is America.
And I would agree with you, but that you're talking about the old America, the new America, I guess you're supposed to provide them. Now, according to state law, you just have to be objectively reasonable. I'm speaking of the city of Grants Pass. That's the requirement, right, that the encampments must be objectively reasonable. Is there anything unreasonable about the current place over by where the water treatment plant will be going in?
No, there's nothing objectively reasonable about that. It's just, we have to allow them to rest, and we have provided an area for them to rest. And it is not we're not supposed to be providing, you know, the law doesn't say you have to provide a shelter and buildings and housing and everything like that. It just says a place reasonably allowed to rest. Obviously,
you do not have to provide living facilities. In other words, that's what I'm getting at. What does the law require that, you know, you don't have to require living. I guess you do have, to provide sanitation? I guess just for the health and safety of the community, I guess you got to do that, right?
Yeah. We have figured out that it's best for everyone if we have, you know, toilets, obviously, in a hand washing station. I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And a trash. Yeah. Because, you know, if not, it will really make it really bad. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got to remember, this population we're talking about, when we're talking about humanitarian crisis, this is less than a half percent of the population of Grants Pass that we're going through all these issues for.
How many, as far as a percentage, would you estimate are drug addicts? Serious question.
I would say, and I'm going to be a little low here. I would probably say 70 or 80% are drug addicts, criminals, or, you know, something that the city just really is not, there's nothing you can do.
And the thing is, if 70 to 80% of these people are drug addicts, then chances are they're not employable either.
Oh, I would say most of these people, as of today, are not employable at all. No one would hire someone that's unstable, using drugs, and then I'll even...
Well, unless you're in the business of stealing copper out of the electric charging stations or whatever the case might be. If you're in that business, I'm sorry, I don't mean it, Tar, because, there but for the grace of God, any of us could be if all of a sudden I decided to start taking fentanyl, okay? I would imagine... So is this still the battle? Is the battle for the taxpayer winning, or is the battle for the hearts and minds that are saying that we should have... a complete mobile community set up for these individuals winning. What did you come away from last night's emergency meeting?
Well, we really didn't. Like I said, it was this was not an emergency. And the question was asked, and I said the best question was asked, and what was even by me was, is there anything that keeps these nonprofits from providing potable water? A bench there or shade for these people, and there's no law or city ordinance that doesn't.
So there's no law that says we have to have the Mount Shasta truck show up at the water plant, right?
So we came to the point is let the nonprofits do the nonprofit work. The city is not set up to do this. If they want to provide water, we're not going to stop them. If they want to provide some kind of shade, they can provide the shade.
Now, what about, you're right about the shade thing. The thing is, though, is that the people who actually pay taxes for the parks would like to have their shade back. They haven't been able to have it for quite some time. That's the reason why the city, got to this point. Now, a serious question, we have drug addicts, we have people who are car camping, who at least they're trying to better their life in some particular case. The addicts are an issue. How many are suffering from serious medical problems? Let's say, diabetics or lots of wounds, things like that. I've seen some reports that are claiming that this is the real, the real crisis going on.
I'm taking a guess here again. I think their numbers are a lot higher than my numbers. There is some elderly there and that got, diabetes, hypertension, whatever it is, problems.
Well, who is responsible for providing the medication?
Well, I don't think it's the city. The city's not set up to do that. My comment to them was, where is Department of Human Services that does with aging and disabilities? That's their responsibility, not the city of Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. Where are they at to take care of someone that can't no longer take care of themselves, that, can't make it to the bathroom, can't do these things? Where are they? That's what they should be complaining to. Is how about them do their job? Only thing that I know that DHS won't do, if they won't accept help, then that's not DHS' fault. That's the individual's fault.
Okay. I'm speaking with Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Younger, also state rep. Kind of has a toe dipped in both sides of that here. Hello, caller. Did you have a question for Dwayne or a comment? Good morning.
Comment, yes. This is Ranger.
Yeah, Ranger.
This entire professional homeless situation would disappear if the homeless camp was put on the border. It would vanish in 30 days.
Well, I would agree with you, except that, like I just mentioned, there is a state law that says objectively reasonable. And I think that there is a ACLU lawyer that would probably take you apart on that, Ranger, but point well taken. I mean, you have to agree with that. I mean, if it was on the border, that would not be objectively reasonable, would it, Counselor?
No, I don't think that would be. I mean, if it was, outside the skirts of the city or something like that, I think that's objectively reasonable. On the border, someone would say, well, I have a job, I can't get to my job. So I don't think that would be objectively reasonable for the common person. I understand where he's coming from and the frustration, but I don't think that would pass the smell test of the state law at this point.
Where do you think we go next?
I have a repeal of measure of HB 315 already drafted, and actually HB 3124, which is the 72-hour law that reverts it back to the original what it was before.
24 hours.
Back to 24 hours. I have already several Republicans that have signed on to that bill to co-sponsor with.
Can you get a Democrat to sign on to it though?
Some time. This is not till January, so the bills are just being submitted and coming back. Obviously, those pretty easy to get, you know, back pretty fast.
Yeah, because 72-hour notification just means that people set up another, you know, campsite before you can get them moved out again. And it's like playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I mean, we need to give the power back to the cities and let them manage this. That's what they're, you know, that's their rule. We shouldn't have government telling us, well, you need to give them 72 hours to move their stuff while they're on a baseball field. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's got to be some common sense in this. They were, even the injunction was only 24 hours to move. So we need to give cities the power to manage their spaces.
Have you had any concern? Because I've been privy to some email chains that raise some issues that I don't know are necessarily comfortable to discuss. But I'll touch the third rail here for just a moment. Is there any concern that there might be enough anger rising against the drug distribution networks that are really happening in the homelessness camps and such that some vigilante action might be taken at some point in various neighborhoods? Have you heard anything like that? Because I'm getting a little rumble of that here and there.
You know, I think if we didn't do something right away, I could see something that like that happening. I think our most upset residents who are near the park are happy. You know, for the most part, it's now quieter. They can enjoy their living in their house and, you know, their property. So that part is down. But anytime you move up to another section, you're going to disrupt that area too. So we will see. I hope that doesn't happen. But I can understand the frustration dealing with people that are very unstable a lot of times. You know, they're not. You really can't engage with some of these people. They're just not stable to talk to.
Yeah, and I understand how everybody just wants them somewhere else, right? You know, that's kind of the way it is because you're right. There are some issues that have some individuals that are really in crisis, but state really doesn't have much to do with helping these individuals in crisis at this point.
I don't feel that. The state is, especially in our area, you know, I was just at an event yesterday. My day was very long. I had to drive 3.5 hours to get back to this emergency crisis in Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to another gentleman that represents them. And we are so far behind with treatment beds. And I've repeated this before. We have less beds today than we did 10 years ago. But instead, we've been doing harm reduction in the housing first model. And I feel like it's a drift for the Democrats to continue to flow money through these nonprofits.
Yeah, to their friends, essentially. To their political friends. That's the issue, the rackets that I've had with the homelessness. Yeah. Money for them. Okay. Oh, boy. So even after this whole Supreme Court decision, we still find ourselves at loggerheads over this. People were saying they didn't think it was going to make much difference. Now, is that because of state law? Where's the roadblock?
The state law, obviously, the state law roadblocks cities from managing, you know, the way they would want. And I think another roadblock is the dying hearts, the people that, you know, feel that it is the city's responsibility to take care of these people. That is the battle between two groups of people is the city must do something and take care of them. And then the other group's like, I'm trying to feed my own family or pay my electricity bill or my water bill and be safe. And so we have these two different groups that are clashing of what should be done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're going to come to an agreement that, you know, I think people care, but they also care about their family first.
Yeah, and they also care about their finances.
They care about their finances.
Yeah. You know, if someone says, hey, we'd like to ding you another $100 a year or $200 a year or whatever it is on street and utility fees in order to take care of the homeless, would you be happy about that then? Probably not, right?
Or get more law enforcement to deal with the issues. You know, our law enforcement are stretched out. They're becoming social workers.
Yeah, let me ask you about that because technically the 1st of September, this coming Sunday, you know, everything that, you know, as far as drugs are being recriminalized, the street drugs. But then it's just kind of a misdemeanor, I suppose. Do you expect much change from Grants Pass and Medford Police, all the rest of them?
I can't speak for Medford Police. I've had several conversations with our chief, and I've talked to other officers, you know, off the record. It's been pretty, the word is September 1st, you will be arrested. Now, that is one part of the program.
Yeah.
You know, they can arrest everybody they want, but is there jail space? Is a district attorney going to move forward with their case?
Yeah.
You know, but
will there be a public, will there be a public defender for them and all the other issues that come involved?
Yeah. So, and is there, if they did want to go to treatment, is there a bed for them to go to treatment? So, yeah, the Democrats passed this thing, you know, I voted no because, I mean, there was no treatment at all. Like, how can you have a, you know, harsh and say, we're going to deflect them and then there's no treatment, then nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the system's going to still be broken. Still, you know, we can arrest them, but where do they go? What do they do? Because they're not going to sit in jail for a possession charge. They just won't. There's mm-hmm. other crimes going on. It's usually going to be.
And there's not really a treatment bed for them either. And yet,
exactly.
there's also another conversation that is, do they want the treatment? Because you can't force treatment, if I recall correctly, right? There is no law that says you can force treatment on this.
Yes, no, there's no forcing. I think, you know, Josephine County in our area is going to be like a three strikes rule kind of a thing. But again, at the end of the day, if there's no treatment, what do? You just arrest them, take them to the jail, they get processed, and they're back out the same day because, you know, their crime is so low compared to, you know, other things. There's laws of sentencing for these people too, and that sentencing's low too. So this is a lot more than just, you know, we're gonna be hard on drugs.
Yeah, but Democrat Party policy has certainly come home to roost. I mean, the chickens have come home to roost from this, and if they try to say otherwise, I don't know. I mean, from proposing the legalization of street drugs to the then trying to repeal it, but you already have thousands now addicted, you know, and you can almost lay it at the fact that, or at the feet, rather, of past policy that voted to go here. You had non-thinking voters going for 110. And I mean, I got to tell you, do you think we're going to be able to survive this in Southern Oregon over time? Or do we just muddle through? Or what you got to tell you there, Counselor?
I think the first thing that Southern Oregon needs to do, because we're talking about Southern Oregon right this minute, is we need to flip a couple seats. And that's the Pam Marsh seat and the Jeff Golden seat. These are enablers in our area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are definitely the enablers. And they're also the wildfire map enablers there, too. So they're kind of attacking us from two prongs.
We can't control Portland because we can't vote there. But for your viewers, you know, your listeners here, we need to get rid of Pam Marsh. We need to get rid of Jeff Golden. These are our Southern Oregon problems. When people talk Southern Oregon, let's talk about these two problems right here that vote for these policies and part of the drift. You know, I know we run out of time here, and I hope you can go to my Oregon Eagle article on the Medicaid. You know, I really have a hard time going to passing bills because we're in the minority, but we need to get these people out of office that are Democrats. And I want you to read my staff is working hard to uncover all the injustice to the people, you know, of Oregon. And that's where we're kind of focused at, is keeping people informed of what's happening with their money, what's happening to their medical, and whatever it is, we're going to keep pushing and digging hard to, you know, put pressure on the Democrats for the injustice they're doing to all of us.
Yeah, by the way, it's on page 4 of the Oregon Eagle. I have my Oregon mm-hmm. Eagle with me this morning here. Forced government health care sounds a bit like communism, and you dig into that one here, Dwayne. Can you get that in the online version? I hadn't looked, but I have the paper one, you know, in front of me.
I'm sure if you're a member and you can get on there.
Okay.
That's a Richard thing, but, you know, we're dedicated to uncovering the things that they're doing, you know, behind our backs or, you know, my colleagues need to step up to the plate, too. We have a responsibility to uncover this and stop voting for these bad bills. Because every time we turn around, it's like, well, I didn't know that was going to do that. What did you think was going to happen?
Dwayne, I was talking about this the other day. I talked about this with Dennis Linthicum yesterday, in fact. Mm-hmm. I was astounded looking at the vote count on Senate Bill 762 and how many Republicans joined the Democrats to vote for that piece of garbage. And you could tell that it was going to be a piece of garbage right from the beginning. Does no one read that stuff up there, or very few read that stuff? Read the bills?
you know, I don't know if they just don't read it. I don't think they like have a vision of a forward vision of where we're going with these things. You know, who's involved with these things? Who's,
you know, I would just assume that if Jeff Golden or Pam Marsh propose a bill involving fighting wildfire, it's not going to fight wildfire. It's just going to benefit Democrat interests, which are not private property interests. Period.
Yeah, and
you would think that, that Republicans would just know, don't go there. Don't even bother.
I would say that if you saw their names as the head petitioner on something, your little spidey senses should be just going, wait, what's going on? Because you could pick out, you know, all these people have been there way longer than me up there in the Capitol, and I know who the activist people are. So when they have a bill, you're like, okay, hold on, something's going on. They know they're not the moderate, you know, average thinking Democrat that's probably, you know, they're kind of stuck in the parts and they have some of those vibes, but they're not – they're not a total rat.
Yeah, they're rats. Well, it's like when it was a Ginny Burdick. Remember Ginny Burdick, state senator, used to be in there. I have a gun safety bill. No, you don't. You have a gun grabbing bill. You know, come on. Don't even go there.
Like Representative Tran. We know Representative Tran is when she had a gun bill this year. Like, get out of my office. You know, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. You know, I will never sign on to any of your craziness. I won't do it.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of crazy circuses we can't be buying tickets for, that is for sure. State Rep and also Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Younger. Dwayne, thanks for the update on that. And it's like, man, oh, man, oh, man, what a tangled web we have when it comes to homeless policy and drugs and all the rest of it. I'll be curious to see what happens when the magical deflection programs are going to be rolled out here over the next few weeks, okay? Keep us in the loop, all right? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Bill. Have a good one. Bye.
You bet. This is KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Open phones for the rest of this hour on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And I'll bet you have some good ones, don't you? 770-5633.